Good morning. Are counsel ready? Please proceed.
Morning, Your Honor. Justices, Richard Burrell for the appellants, the Nagys. In October 2002, the town of South Bethany enacted its ordinance number 10802. The preamble to that ordinance and the prefatory language cited concerns with the erosion of the banks of the waterways and canals in the town, the shoaling of the canals that might result from the erosion, and some other potential problems with navigation. That had been preceded by a resolution that had been enacted by the town several months earlier in July, and that resolution declared, first of all, a moratorium on floating jet docks, jet ski docks, and also noted in its preamble or prefatory language that those docks, along with the erratic operation of jet skis themselves, presented issues involving safety and endangering persons and property. Read together, the town recognized that those floating jet ski docks in and of themselves did not pose problems, but that this additional element was necessary, and that was the erratic operation of the jet skis and presumably the individuals who were guiding those personal watercraft. The docks themselves don't do any of the things that the town was concerned with, or that the town was worried about. It doesn't cause a wake, has no motor, no engine.
Well, let me interrupt for a second. I admit to not being particularly expert in this field, but from what I understood, in order to get your jet ski out of the water and onto the dock, you have to speed up and zoom onto it or something like that. Is that correct?
That's one method of doing it, Your Honor, and there are other methods. There is a winch that's attached to these things as well, and you can crank them out, or some of the winches have little motors that actually wind them up onto the docks themselves. So one of the methods of getting the jet ski onto the dock would involve the throttling of the engines. But there are alternative ways of doing that.
Okay, but in terms of your taking the position that the dock itself doesn't contribute to any of the problems that might have been recognized, to the extent that people use that method of getting onto their dock, they are creating a wake and doing other things that are deemed inappropriate or harmful.
That would be correct, and that was one of the points that we were making, Your Honor, is that there are other ways to police that. And, in fact, the town has on record already an ordinance number 37-2, which actually appears at B37 of the appellee's appendix, and that specifically addresses and makes unlawful the creation of a wake.
But does it matter that there may be other enforcement mechanisms? Is the town restricted to doing only one thing to deal with the problem?
Well, I think to make the ordinance, to enable the ordinance to apply to the docks, I think the dock itself has to have that relationship with the harm that the town's seeking to control. And I think that was what then Vice Chancellor Jacobs was addressing in the Bethel versus West case. Case which sought to just ban horses without there being any indication, at least at that preliminary summary judgment stage, without any proof that banning of the horses was going to resolve the problem. And the language in that decision, which suggested that if there were lesser methods for attaining the goal that the town sought in that particular instance, that might be what was necessary. In this instance, that's the position we're taking. The docks themselves don't do any harm. They just sit there and float on the water just like a canoe or a kayak or any other kind of boat for that matter.
Well, let me ask you this. Is there a governmental interest in keeping the canals navigable?
Absolutely.
Well, if I understand your position, there was nothing to preclude the addition of this dock, floating dock, no matter what its size. Is that right?
We don't think the initial ordinance that was in effect prior to the amendments addressed this particular type of dock. I think it would still be subject to reasonable regulation with respect to size and location. I wouldn't suggest that anybody could just toss one of these in the middle of the canal, for example, and bar or cause problems for in and outgoing other boat traffic.
Well, I mean, common sense would suggest that, but you couldn't just link these floating docks and go all the way to wherever.
Correct. I agree.
But what in the ordinances would have prevented that under your theory of the case, that there was nothing to preclude having a floating dock?
I'm not sure that there was anything in the original ordinance that did address that. I think the reasonable regulation that came with the subsequent amendments could have allowed the continued existence of the dock itself while still regulating size, shape, and location. As an example.
Mr. Burrell, I need to understand the relationship between and among your arguments. As I understand it, there are two issues. The first is whether the floating dock that was in existence at the time of the regulation that was adopted was a non-conforming use, correct?
That's correct.
If it was, what's the consequence of that? And if it wasn't, what's the consequence?
If it was a valid non-conforming use at the time of the new ordinances, the new ordinance, to the extent that it doesn't meet that rational basis test, should not be applicable to the pre-existing use.
So the case would be over?
The case would be over in terms of at least regulating out of existence the Nagy's dock itself, yes.
I mean, there would be nothing left to be decided. Would that be dispositive of the entire case?
I believe it would be, Your Honor. I believe if there was a valid non-conforming use, and if the ordinance doesn't pass muster under the reasonable relationship test.
It wouldn't matter, would it? If you have a valid non-conforming use, then the ordinance wouldn't apply.
Well, there is some...
Or would it?
Well, there is law out there, Your Honor, to suggest that the police ordinances enacted under a town's police power can be applied retroactively.
So we would still have to decide whether the ordinance was a police power ordinance.
I think the court still has to determine that it was enacted under the police power and that it meets that rational basis test.
And that's the second issue.
Right. There's two issues. Yeah. I sort of started with the second one.
So we would have to decide the second issue in any case. Yes.
If the
yes,
yes.
All right. Now, with respect to the second issue, is it not the case that your entire position hangs on the proposition that the only purpose for the ordinance that's at issue here was to regulate the creation of wakes?
That seemed to be what the resolution and the ordinance itself said.
Is that a yes or a no? Are there other purposes that the record might reveal?
I don't believe so, Your Honor. So
that's why you focus exclusively on the proposition that there's no rational relationship between regulating outlawing floating docks and regulating wakes, because there are other ways, more direct ways, to regulate wakes that don't outlaw flooding docks. Is that
correct? I mean, the wakes can come from any kind of boat. It doesn't have to be a jet ski. It could be a motorboat.
But to the extent there are other purposes for the floating dock, then that analysis doesn't work, does it?
I'm not sure I understand that question, Your Honor.
Well, if, as Justice Ridgely alluded to, if another purpose for precluding floating docks was to remove potential interferences with the navigability of the canal, then we'd have a whole different analysis.
But I think that's correct. I don't read that from either the ordinance or the resolution itself. Both of those seem to tie directly into the wakes and the damage, the erosion that would cause to the banks and the subsequent shoaling.
Okay, one last question. If we would have to decide the issue of whether the ordinance is a police power ordinance, no matter what the outcome of the first issue, then do we need to reach the first issue at all? Does it matter whether or not you had a valid nonconforming use?
It probably doesn't. It's probably not important at that juncture, Your Honor. I think if this is
at what juncture?
If the court decides that if the court makes its decision first on whether this is a valid exercise of police power, I don't think it matters whether or not the pre-existing use was validly stated or not. I think it comes down to the ordinance itself. That was the argument I started with here this morning, of course.
I'd like to follow up on the police power issue. Is there a distinction between police power and zoning? If a municipality or governmental entity passed a zoning regulation, would that be something different than passing something under its police powers?
Yeah. I think that's where the distinction comes in vis-a-vis the pre-existing use, Your Honor. I think if this were a simple zoning ordinance, the issue of the non-conforming use becomes more important. If it's a police power, I don't think it's important.
Okay, so help me out. What's the difference between a police power enactment and a zoning enactment?
An enactment under the police powers, assuming it's a valid enactment, can affect a valid non-conforming use.
That's not what I'm getting at. Tell me what it is to be a police power enactment. How is that different than an enactment to deal with a zoning issue?
I think it fits into the health, safety, welfare concept of the
isn't that what zoning is for too?
I think it's a little bit more limited, Your Honor. I think zoning deals more with aspects of uses in particular zones and sizes and numbers and things of that nature, as opposed to regulating things which are directly affecting or have an effect on health, safety,
well,
and welfare.
Let me put it differently. If a municipality enacts a zoning law, under what power is it doing it? Is it doing it under its police power or something else?
As I think of it, I believe zoning probably is a prong of the police power. I probably have to concede that point, that zoning is part of the police power of a municipality.
Okay, and I don't know that we're necessarily going to have to deal with this, but it has basically come up. So you've got police power enactments, and then you've got zoning enactments. And if it's a zoning enactment and you've got a prior nonconforming use, then that gets to survive. But if it's a police power enactment that's not zoning, is that how we differentiate? Then it can wipe out a prior nonconforming use.
I think that is the distinction the cases have tried to make, Your Honor, that something, a police power not otherwise of a zoning nature, can wipe out even a valid nonconforming use.
Is it a fair distinction between a zoning regulation and a police power regulation that zoning establishes what uses are permitted in a certain geographic area, but police power governs the exercise of that use, that is, the manner and form of the use?
That sounds like a fair distinction, Your Honor.
Well, I'm not asking you to speculate. Is that distinction recognized in any case law?
And none that comes to mind immediately, Your Honor.
If we, focusing on the police power, we start with a presumption that the ordinance is valid, right?
Correct.
Okay. Now, does that presumption extend only to the express rationale that you've alluded to in the record about wakes, or are we entitled, as part of that presumption, to infer other valid reasons, such as the preserving the navigability of the canals?
Well, I think the court can certainly draw reasonable inferences from the stated purposes of the ordinance. In this instance, though, I'm not sure that any of those that realistically you could draw too many inferences beyond what was specifically stated by the town.
Well, is navigability one of them, or preserving navigability?
Sure, that is definitely one, and I think that was the town's primary concern. And the navigability, I think, is hand in hand with the wakes, which they contend cause the erosion of the banks, and I guess the whatever is being eroded settles on the bottom and decreases the depth and applies to navigability. But I think that all goes hand in hand with the issue of the wakes and the erosion.
Why does it? Navigability, everybody can be driving the speed limit on their jet ski or other watercraft, and still you could have a navigability issue. So they are distinct, aren't they?
It may be a distinct issue, Gunnar, but again, it has nothing to do with the type of dock they're trying to ban. I mean, the dock itself is not causing that navigability problem.
Well, a large enough one would, wouldn't it?
I don't think the size of the dock has anything to do with the navigability issue. I mean, these things can be...
Well, eventually it could block the canal if you got a big enough
one. It could, and again, I don't think there's any question that there is some right to reasonably restrict size, shape, location, and these jet ski docks, like all these floating docks, now are like giant Legos. I mean, you can configure them and fit them into to pretty much any area you want. And I don't think that's a problem. I think the problem was just saying you can't have this thing all together because we're trying to preserve the banks of our canals. And I know full well that that dock isn't doing anything to jeopardize the walls of that canal.
It is eventually, by various means, attached to the ground, isn't it?
I don't think it is, Your Honor. It's attached to an existing dock, which is already sitting out 3, 4, 5 feet into the canal.
Which is attached somehow to the ground.
Which
right?
is attached somehow, eventually through however many degrees of separation ends up. Everything ends up attached at some point.
You're now into your rebuttal time. You're welcome to use it or not.
I think I'll preserve it, Your Honor, and wait. Wait for Mr. Barris. Thank you.
Good morning to you all. At the beginning of my argument, let me issue an invitation, though I don't think one is necessary for you to interrupt me at any time or to redirect the course of my presentation to you so as to focus upon the issues that you're looking for.
I thought you were going to invite us to the canal to use our jet skis.
Well, you certainly are welcome to use your jet skis within the canals of South Bethany because they are certainly legal and permitted uses within the town of Bethany. It's the use of the floating jet ski dock that is the issue, and that is what is prohibited. I probably should just put this down and just talk to you. Justice Berger, you wanted to know about how these things work. What you basically have is an inclined plane that goes down into the water. The purpose of the jet ski dock is to allow not only a jet ski but other types of watercraft, depending upon the size and design of the dock, to come up from the water, approach the end of the ramp that is partially submerged, and then power up so that he can climb up this ramp. Now, when that jet ski or boat powers up to come up the ramp, it creates significant thrust to the rear of the watercraft. And one of the concerns of the town is that thrust has the effect of disturbing the bottom of the canal, creating what they call shoaling. And shoaling, by definition, means to make shallow or to become shallow.
But you're going to have that at every boat ramp, aren't you?
At every boat ramp, you probably will have some degree of, I take that back, Justice Ridgely, because when you go to a conventional boat ramp, what you do is you back your trailer into the water.
And power the boat up onto the trailer?
Typically, you winch it up. At least, I never was very good at powering up on a trailer, but I suppose that some degree of shoaling could be created by that. Shoaling, though, is not... Okay, there are some stated purposes in the prefatory language to the ordinance that talk about the bad effects of shoaling. it talks about inhibiting the natural tidal flush of the canals. It talks about perhaps creating some type of pollution or aiding to pollution, and it also talks about disturbing or inhibiting navigation in these canals to other boaters.
Is it your position that the preventing of the shoaling, by preventing the powering up of the boats as they try to get placed on the floating dock is the purpose of the ordinance at issue here?
No, Your Honor, and we don't have to show that it was the purpose. Let me just give you another example.
Well, you do if you're going to justify the constitutionality.
I think that the test for that is if there is any purpose that is reasonably connected to the public use, good, welfare, etc., that the if that is...
To which the ordinance has a reasonable relationship or a rational
correct.
Relationship.
Absolutely correct.
Okay, which purpose do you rely on for that analysis?
Well, the court below focused on shoaling as a purpose. The court below also focused upon the ordinance as an aid to enforce the town's no-wake zones within the town. I can suggest to you several other purposes. For example, this ramp, it has to have a rather shallow angle on it so that the boat can power up. The regulations in the town say that your dock can only extend 4 feet into the water. If this thing's extended 4 feet into the water instead of being like this with a shallow degree, it would be a much more severe degree in order to comply with the 4 foot requirement, and it certainly couldn't be used in that effect. This particular dock extends 13 feet out into the navigable portion of that canal. It's 9 feet more than it's permitted to do so under the zoning code in effect when it was enacted. So it does, Justice Ridgely, absolutely have the potential for impacting navigation. And keep in mind, this ordinance was not specific solely to Mr. and Mrs. Nagy. It was specific to all docks of this nature within the town of South Bethany. So there's another valid purpose, Justice Jacobs, for the enforcement of this particular ordinance.
Even if it's unstated in the legislative history of the ordinance, that doesn't somehow stop the town from asserting another reason?
You know, I don't think it does. I think that the case law says, what the case law basically says is, he who challenges, who makes a facial attack upon an exercise of the town's police power has the burden of demonstrating that there are no set of facts under which this rational basis would be found. The shoaling is a set of facts. The test is if it is fairly debatable as to whether there is any set of facts under which this exercise of power would be valid and related to the public good, then the court should not override the legislative decision.
Let's back up for a minute.
Yes, sir.
Is there an anti-shoaling ordinance?
You have generally Chapter 50, which the title of Chapter 50 of the code is called bulkheading, but it addresses so much more than just bulkheads.
Well, let me cut through this. Let's assume we have a non-floating fixed pier, I guess.
Yes.
A dock.
Mm-hmm.
That meets all of the requirements of the code, that is the ordinances that are at issue here. Could I take my jet ski and shoal up to that without violating any law?
Well, do you mean by that, could you attach your jet ski to your permanent dock?
Could I power up in order to get my jet ski parked at the dock?
The definition of the prohibited use here is floating boat ramps and docks designed to be driven onto by watercraft.
I know that. Let's take that out of the equation. I'm now positing a non-floating fixed dock.
I don't think it's possible to drive a boat onto a floating fixed dock.
Right, but it is possible to drive a boat along the side of a fixed dock, correct?
Absolutely.
And if I were to power that boat in a way that created a wake, do I violate any ordinance?
Absolutely. There's a the entire canal system is a no-wake zone.
Okay. Well, why then do you need to outlaw floating zones? Floating docks, if the purpose is simply to preclude powering up with the shoaling that would result from it.
Oh, the shoaling is was.
That is, why doesn't your existing ordinance take care of that problem?
The existing ordinance does create a no-wake zone throughout the totality of the canal system. This particular ordinance addresses the actual
size, the attitude
of the vehicle as it climbs up this ramp. These jet skis are basically floating motorcycles, and they have a good amount of power. And when they climb, they are behind them exerting a very good amount of force, certainly sufficient to propel several hundred pounds of man and material up that ramp. And a legitimate purpose of the town in enacting this is that can and does result in shoaling, which the town has found to be a bad thing. Again, though.
Let me stop you there for a moment.
Yes.
Is the issue of whether the floating dock at the time that it was installed a non-conforming use an issue that we have to address?
I don't know that you have to, because the difference, Justice Berger, between, as I see it, between a zoning ordinance and a exercise of police power is this. Both are exercises of police power. But this particular zoning ordinance, like so many others, has a grandfathering provision in it. So by virtue of the zoning code itself, you have a grandfathering type situation. This ordinance, the one we're talking about, was not enacted underneath the zoning code. It was enacted under the bulkheading code. Therefore, the grandfathering provisions of the zoning code are not applicable. But whether or not this use is grandfathered is, in my opinion, a moot issue, because even legal non-conforming uses are subject to ordinance that result in a valid exercise of police power.
The ordinance that we're talking about here is one that outlaws floating docks, is that right?
It does.
Okay.
No, I take that back. It doesn't outlaw floating docks, and floating docks were in existence before this ordinance ever was passed. What it outlaws is floating docks designed to drive a watercraft onto. So I think we said
floating docks configured a certain way.
Yes.
So the Nagy's could replace the dock that they have with the dock that would conform to the ordinance, and that would be okay?
Well, they probably would have to remove their existing dock to do that, but certainly. And there are many examples of floating docks that rise and fall in the tide, but they're stationary. Usually they're on some type of pole system to keep them in place as they do that, and you certainly don't drive a boat onto them.
Well, following up on Justice Jacobs' questions, if I understand reading between the lines, wakes are a problem and shoaling, and they are a more significant problem, let's say, when a jet ski is trying to get up on a ramp because it's powering up to do that. If there were sufficient enforcement agents out there, every time the Nagy's tried to do that, they could get some sort of citation for creating a wake in a no-wake zone, correct?
I suppose that theoretically that is correct.
So in other words, the town is saying, we really can't watch every jet ski out there and wait until the moment they're going to get back to their dock and then give them a ticket or whatever we would do for violating the no-wake requirements. So instead, an easier way to accomplish the same result, easier in terms of enforcement, is to say you can't have the kind of dock with a ramp that they could use to get up on their get their jet ski out of the water.
Well, I think your comment about the practicality of enforcement is certainly correct, but I think also the town is, what the town is not saying is we want to prohibit the Nagy's jet ski ramp. What the town is saying is we want to prohibit all of them, because if you have a proliferation of them, the shoaling event that you have from one jet ski ramp is going to be multiplied however many times it occurs during the course of the operation of all of the jet ski ramps.
Well, isn't the practical effect of this to ban jet skis? I mean, where, how does one deal with them in the summertime? Just tie them to the dock?
I think we need to look at what the ordinance does and what it doesn't do. The ordinance does permit davits of a type to lift canoes, kayaks, or jet skis.
Is that a boat lift? Is that what a davit is?
Actually, I looked it up, and what a davit is something that's on a boat or a ship that reaches out and pulls up cargo, but that's the language that they used on that section. It also permits boat lifts. It also permits small lifts for jet skis, what it refers to as personal watercraft. So if the town wanted to ban jet skis, it certainly wouldn't say you can't have a boat ramp where you drive it up on, but you can have a boat lift right there on your dock to pull it out of the water when you're not using it and swing it onto your dock and keep it there. I mean, that makes just no sense at all that they would be wanting to ban jet skis if they allow you to have these types of lifts.
Let me ask a question that may have been asked already in other forums, but I need to have it clarified. I think you've spoken very clearly about the concern regarding shoaling and how powering up jet skis can create that problem. Is that the problem that we should be focusing on for purposes of the constitutional analysis, or is there a second concern which goes to the size of the floating docks? That is the concern that the floating docks may be, especially if they were allowed blanketly, could be so large and so numerous as to interfere with navigation.
I think that your review should be to whether there is any use that would have this rational basis and connection.
Fine, but we're not clairvoyant. We're not able to invent that.
And clearly the burden is on the challenger to show that there are no circumstances that would do it, but Justice Ridgely offered one, which is the impact upon navigation, because keep in mind, this dock sticks out in the canal 9 feet further than it should be.
And I'm asking you, is a purpose of the ordinance, which limits the size of the dock,
I think that
type of interference with navigation, that is, interferences that could be caused by the dock jutting out too far into the water.
I think clearly that is a purpose that you can consider, just as shoaling is a purpose you can consider, and any other purpose that you can imagine are purposes that you may consider.
Is the width of the canal where the Nagy's dock is in the record? In other words, how far is it from one side to the other?
I don't know
what's
that is in
the... From the end of their dock to the other, what's the dimension from the end of the floating dock to the other bulkhead? Do we know that?
I don't know if that's in the record, and I don't know the answer to the question, unfortunately.
I have another question.
Yes.
Opposing counsel has suggested that even with this ramp arrangement, you don't necessarily have to get up the ramp by using a surge of power in your jet ski, which causes all the problems. You could pull it up, I guess, with a rope tied to the front of it, or with a winch arrangement. Wouldn't that resolve the town's concerns in terms of shoaling and not interfere with the ability to have a ramp type arrangement for removing your jet ski from the water?
Well, that certainly isn't the use to which these docks were designed. They were designed to power up on. Theoretically, yes, you could put a winch on the end of it. And there may, in fact, be a winch on the end of it. And, yes, you could winch it up every time you got there. But I suspect in practicality, in the course of human nature, nobody does it because that's not what it's designed for. It's like, could you have an airplane that all you wanted to do was taxi it around the runway and not take off and fly it? So, I mean, yes, you could do that. Practically speaking, would people do that? Would you reasonably expect people to do that? I don't believe you would. But then again, the town has provided for these boat lifts and these jet ski lifts and these davits, if in fact that's a proper application, so that you can use your jet ski and you can get it out of the water and store it out of the water, because I understand that these things aren't really, you don't store them in the water, some type of damage to the mechanism occurs. The purpose of the jet ski ramp is to easy out of the water, easy access to the water. And it certainly is. It's a lot less work than winching it up, and it's a lot less work than using the boat lift. But it creates shoaling. It sticks too far out in the waterway. It impedes navigation. You could, Justice Ridgeland, I suppose you could say if one of the purposes was it's not aesthetically pleasing, that, I argue, would be a valid, rational basis for outlawing them.
So getting back to my question about using the ramp without creating the negative effects that the town is concerned about, you agree that the ramp could be used that way, but you're saying people just won't do that even if they're told that you're not allowed to power up to get up this ramp. You have to manually pull your jet ski up the ramp, that in fact nobody will follow that directive and it would be too difficult to enforce. So an easier way to accomplish the same thing is to ban the ramp.
I will agree with that. However, that under that scenario, the ramp would still be in violation of the code because it's 13 feet out into the canal
this
as opposed to 4.
Particular one, right.
Yes.
Okay.
But the ramps that are allowed under the ordinance would be configured in such a way that it wouldn't make any sense or wouldn't be possible to power up onto them. Is that correct?
I'm not an engineer, but I think the angle would be something like that, and I don't believe that it would work. If you're only 4 feet out in the water, if you're 13 feet out in the water, there's a much more shallow angle of attack.
Can you help me with the appendix? I'm looking at the appellant's appendix A1. That appears to be a photograph. Is that is this the floating jet ski ramp right here, and it's in the corner at the end of the canal?
That's the appellant's photo. I believe that fairly represents the placement of this particular ramp, and by happenstance, this one happens to be at the end of the canal. But again, it's not Mr. and Mrs. Nagy's specific. There certainly are other folks who could put them in the middle of the canal. My time is up. Thank you.
Justice Ridgely, first, the photograph, which was A1, it is my understanding that is not the Nagy's boat dock. I think it is, it was in here as an example of one. And the incline, I think, at least, is something that you can see on there. And it doesn't strike me as a radical incline. It is a small incline. I was going to also offer that as a suggestion. That is the canal on which the Nagy's property is located, and although I don't think there's anything in the record with specific dimensions. This gives you some sense of scale, at least, as to what we were talking about.
And is there is it in the record their home is in at the end of the canal or in the middle of the canal somewhere?
If I'm not mistaken, actually, their home is in the second photograph, which was A2. It's where all the individuals are standing. I believe that is maybe the second house from the end. I'm not certain, though.
Okay. But there's no photograph of the actual jet ski dock that's the subject of this controversy.
Not the Nagy's.
In place.
No, sir. One of the questions that came up on several occasions was with respect to whether or not the town could actually police the causing of these wakes short of banning the boat docks. And I think again, my reference to Section 37-2 of the town's code, which is at B37, does precisely that, and it makes unlawful the operation of a watercraft which would cause a wake, and provides for penalties of anywhere between $25 to $100 per offense. It may not be the easiest thing in the world to police those, although this particular controversy arose apparently because a nosy neighbor was taking movies of the Nagies using their boat dock. So I assume there's a certain amount of policing that can come from the town at large. But in our view, this particular ordinance offers an adequate way for the town to address precisely the harm that it claimed was being caused and which resulted in the amended ordinance. There's also a convenience factor attached to these boat docks. I understand that they allow them.
But the Buxton case, doesn't it stand for the proposition that the fact that there may be an alternative does not otherwise defeat the validity of an ordinance that accomplishes the same purpose by another means?
I think it says that, but I think to some extent that contradicts some of the language of the West case, which suggested that if there was something of a lesser nature than an overall ban of a horses, for example, throughout the town, that the municipality might be required to use that lesser alternative.
Thank you. Your time is up.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, counsel. We will take the matter under advisement and take a brief recess.